I have the actual pleasure of introducing another colleague of mine who I've known for many years. Actually, one of the industry leaders and industry experts in DSM. He's done a lot of implementations, does a lot of writing, does a lot of research, talks to hundreds of customers in the implementation and the deployment of business service management pretty much all over the world. He has a presentation right now titled Transitioning to the Next Generation of Timber Business Service Manager. So having said that, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Doug McClure.
Thank you, Clayton. Thanks for attending the presentation. It's not a sellout, so it may stay cooler in here today. This presentation assumes that all of you have some previous experience or exposure to the Heritage Tivoli Business Service or Systems Manager product, or a NetCool product, NetCool RAD, NetCool SLAM, or you're currently working with a current version of Tivoli Business Service Manager version 4. And I'm going to share some things today that sort of touch on all the historical products that we've used to help prepare you and your deployments or your future customers or wherever you work today, how to best be prepared for the next generation of Tivoli Business Service Manager version 4.2 coming out this year. How many people do I have that are Tivoli Business Systems Manager background? How about NetCool RAD, NetCool SLAM? How about current version, Tivoli Business Service Manager version 4? Okay, so it's a good mix here, and that's good to see, because all these things that I want to share with you today are things that I want to plant seeds with all of you to encourage you to look at TBSM differently than you may have in the past, to best prepare yourselves to take advantage of all those features, all the capability that we'll have in current versions of TBSM version 4 and 4.2. And if you saw Dan talk this morning, how to be best prepared to take advantage of all the things even in the future. Here's the things I'd like to talk about. I'm not known for short presentations, so it's very hard for me to talk in an hour. I'll do my best to do that, but you'll find that I'm one of the most accessible IBM employees. I work in the IBM Software Services for Tivoli or Lab Services organization. I came from Micromuse. I have a personal blog. If you Google my name and business service management, you will find me. You'll be able to contact me at any hour to help you with your business service management journey using our technology.
Does your wife know about that?
She does.
All right.
I didn't pay attention to the training at IBM about how to be a remote office worker and how to stop working, unfortunately. But that's how passionate I am about business service management and helping you, our clients, business partners, IBMers, be successful with business service management. Because it's not just about technology, it's about all kinds of things that surround that technology if your goal is to do real business service management. So lots of different things, just some thoughts around planning in various areas that are new to you if you're a TBSM version 3 customer. Talks about some best practices and lessons learned that I've picked up working with this product for a long time. If you attended Ed Glenning's presentation on the Bank of America, I partnered with our development teams and was the lead architect on helping them. So the things that I'm talking about are from customers big and small around the world who are adopting this platform for business service management. So one of the thoughts that I'm leaving with all the people that I talk to who are customers today is that the next generation, whether you're version 3 or version 4 or RAD of TBSM, offers opportunities for reevaluating what you've done in the past to be successful in the future. Version 3 or even version 4 in RAD, the next version, this is a perfect point in the product lifecycle for you to evaluate what you've done and consider new ways of doing it. Consider the broader portfolio of products now capabilities and features to get the value that you may once have expected in the past. And I want to share with you tips and tricks and things to think about now of how to go do that. I'm encouraging people not to consider this as just another step in the product life cycle. It's not a maintenance upgrade. You have a perfect opportunity now to reevaluate what you've done, to correct those potential mistakes or shortcomings or gaps, and be successful in the future. You may not need to do everything you've done in the past, and you probably shouldn't. And that the more emphasis and effort that you place into an architecture, design, and planning to adopt the product TBSM today, the better off you're likely going to be. Your tactical efforts that many of you have bought into the product for ultimately are not going to live up to your expectations if you don't have a strategic plan and vision on how you're going to adopt the product. It's the time now to start to think about documenting what you do in your current environment. If you're a TBSM version 3 or version 4 client, I know we all love documentation, but that's the critical point now and critical piece of information to evaluate what you're doing. What are the use cases you have? How do you use TBSM version 3? It's a radically different use case than what we brought from Micromuse and the Netcool Rad product. The architecture will definitely look different. How do your operators use that? How do you use the features and functionality of an older product today? And what are your options and alternatives to use something like that in the new product or with a new enabling product like Omnibus or Impact? So documenting the use cases, the scenarios, the personas, the user groups that you have in your environment is key. Is it an operations-only tool? Do you want to show this to your executives, to your line of business, management and teams? Document that information. Gain insight into your current usage patterns, loads, event throughput, all these different characteristics that help you evaluate and plan for an architecture in the future. It's important that you understand your end-user computer environment as well. What is the common denominator of all the desktop environment or laptop environment, JRE, CPU and memory utilization, or CPU and memory configurations on the end user's environment. This is a web application. There's Java. We all know that that's a perfect technology. So you need to have insight and partner with your IT help desk environments to understand, when I go deploy TBSM, what are my use cases going to be, my usage loads? What's the user experience going to be when I go create that dashboard and the product? Documenting your integration scenarios, system interactions, and expectations is critical for defining that architecture and design. Right now, you should be evaluating where are all your events coming from. You need to thoroughly understand events in your environment, coming from tech, ITM, other vendors, Omnibus. The more effort and energy you put into understanding events, the better off. And I'll have many slides here talking about that. Establishing best practices. TBSM is a blank canvas. You have to develop what you want inside of that product. So adopting a development attitude with standardized practices and naming schemes is very important to long-term sustainability and a life cycle of management within TBSM. You'll also have to become visualization experts, understanding HTML and Java, server pages, JSPs, CSS, web terms, to be proficient in designing that user presentation layer that will make or break the success of your product deployment. Reporting, you also need to understand things like Tivoli Common Reporting and how to design reports. So So how will you use the core product capabilities today? How will you use the enabling product capabilities of TIP, Omnibus, WebTop, Impact? How will you use the supporting technologies? How will you leverage the integration capabilities? All these things need to be thought through now and incorporated into a design and architecture for a purpose, with a purpose. Don't just deploy TBSM thinking that I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday. To get full advantage and take advantage of all the capabilities, you're going to want to plan this out like it's a development project. You may have seen pictures like this in the past. We have a lot of capability to integrate, consolidate, collect. You saw the triangle presentation of all the domain-specific tools, and we at Tivoli are doing a great job integrating with all of our other products and allowing you to get data, get resource information with discovery libraries. So how are you going to do all that? How's that going to incorporate into your broader objectives? How's it going to enable your operations staff to perform their daily tasks? Be business as usual today versus when you deploy version 4.2 or when you do that. The design objective for a large banking project that I am participating in was what my operators do today with version 3, they have to do the same thing with version 4. And those are completely different architectures to enable those business as usual capabilities to happen. So there's lots of architecture options that we have to choose from. So getting familiar with the NetCool terminology, probes, gateways, object servers, Omnibus, WebTop, event lists, alert.status, failover, three-tiered architectures, lots of different language and terminology and, you know, TLAs that are in the picture now as you start to adopt version 4, version 4.1 and 4.2 technology. So how will you use the next version of TBSM? How does it fit into your organization? I've seen many different applications. I traveled to China and worked with some of the largest banks in China. Not uncommon as well here in the States, where the mainframe group had their version of TBSM. Distributed had their version of TBSM. Network did their own thing. Will you continue to do that? Or will you work towards a consolidated operations environment where I have mainframe, network, and distributed all going to an architecture? The Omnibus architecture is certainly capable of doing that, which may not have been capable of in the past in a tech-based environment. So how can you take advantage of this opportunity in the TBSM product lifecycle to change what you've done in the past to truly get consolidated operations? And my opinion is that that's the only way, if you want to do business service management, is to have visibility across all those disparate silos in your organization. Do you have a strategic vision of how you're going to adopt the converging product roadmaps from all of our acquisitions? How are you going to do event management? How are you going to do trouble ticketing, paging, notifications, reporting? You've got to think about these things now. We're going to help you along the way. We're going to give you things out of the box and migration utilities and whatnot. But every customer is different, so you have to start to plan about those things now. For our customers who have come from the NetCool RAD side, are familiar with the NetCool GUI Foundation, you've mentioned or you've heard from Dan and others, have heard about the TIP or the Tivoli Integrated Portal. This commodity infrastructure component brings along with it options for architecture, design, and implementation. How am I going to tie into authentication sources? How am I going to do reporting? How am I going to leverage data from ITM? How am I going to deploy a highly available failover environment? TIP offers choice. How do you plan? And we're learning this, right? Because this is in beta now. We're learning what's that scalability point, right? How many users can I put on tip before I split and I have a, you know, another tip server, or I use TBSM and I split the front end and the back end. We're learning this. We need your help to understand your use case scenarios to make sure that this all works. Join the beta program if you'd like to help. Access, authorization, and authentication planning. So many of our customers loved, struggled, and fought with our NetCool Security Manager product. Tivoli may had another product as well that was used in the legacy TBSM side. But now it's time to start to think about a plan, a real plan for how you, the monitoring tools group or administrator, are going to partner with the LDAP or the security group inside your companies and come up with a plan for user role and group-based authentication. Create a straw man. Figure it out now about this group is going to have access to this dashboard or this part of the model. The mainframe group is only going to see the mainframe stuff. The distributed group is only going to see the distributed stuff. Plan all this out. Get on a whiteboard and mock up a straw man that talks about how we're going to do user, role, and group-based security. Defining levels of access control into reports, into instances, into an event list. Who can or cannot acknowledge an event? Who can create a trouble ticket from an event? You've got to plan all those use case scenarios out now before you start to deploy the product. How are you going to do navigation? Again, another investment area is navigation, launch in context. All those things are going to have security and user role and group-based access controls available to you to take advantage of if desired. Where am I going to integrate my authentication to? Am I going to have a central connection to LDAP, Active Directory? Am I going to continue to use like Omnibus if you're an existing NetCool customer today for authentication? We're using the WebSphere components there, so we're getting things like VMM or Virtual Member Manager or single sign-on. All these things are starting to come to us via TIP. So we need to plan how we're going to make use of those. Again, I'm a begin with the end in mind type of person. So this is the type of level of detail that I work with clients with to plan. What's going to happen when the executive presses on this button in that dashboard? What happens? Well, this portlet repaints. This report is displayed here. I navigate down to a service model or a scorecard over here. That's the level of design thought that needs to be put into this product. You're going to get some standard functionality. You're going to get some automatic things that happen when you put a portlet of type X and type Y onto a view. But beyond that, you've got to design actions, responses between portlets, between third-party applications. How do I do a launch in context from TBSM to HP OpenView or to another third-party tool? Planning is important in those scenarios. The goal should be to incorporate 80% of what you'd expect those audiences or personas to do. So you're going to, generally we start out with operations, management, and executive as the key audiences. So we try and design templates that here's what the average operator does, manager does, or executive does, and start from there. And then drive through a request-driven process or a change management process, service request process, all the other outliers that need to be incorporated into that design. Again, in the future, I'm proud to say that if we realize this, that all those things need to be pushed to the edge. BSM at the edge or dashboards at the edge or some of the monikers that I use to say, I don't want to be in the trouble ticket work request business. I want to do the heavy lifting to make sure that integrations are in place, events are in place, KPIs and other things are in place, and then you can mash up, aggregate, correlate, display, report on things that are important to you. The My Google or the My Yahoo or iGoogle example that Dan used today. Get the monitoring tools group out of that process. I came from your environment. I ran the monitoring tools group at Earthlink. I know what it's like to get the users off your back as much as possible. Push it out to them in a self-service manner. Visualization. So we come from a couple different environments here on the version 3 and the RAD side. Capabilities to create many different types of visualization. The products offer a default look and feel, but now you've got the ability to start to create even more things with some new language in TIP, TIP pages, TIP views, and TIP portlets, contrasting that to NGF of viewpoints and iframe examples and state maintained tabs. So a little bit of learning difference there. It took me a while to figure it all out. Custom Canvas dashboards. You may have seen some of the screenshots in the demo ped. Didn't really see anything too custom in the Al Zoller opening ceremony presentation, but now you've got the ability to create custom dashboards using our custom Canvas capability. I strongly recommend the use of that over NetCool WebTop Maps, which is another capability in the product. Scorecards. How am I going to design and implement scorecards? Another very powerful capability of the version 4 architecture of bringing in KPIs, metrics, information from events or non-event sources to communicate a message. Leveraging conditional formatting and launch in context right from that scorecard. I can change things based on state status. I can launch out to other applications, drive reports right from that scorecard presentation. Of course, our TIP and TCR based reporting, charting and graphs. You should all be reading about BERT and TCR today. Everybody can go download that from Tivoli or from the Eclipse BERT project. There are about three good books available on Amazon if you really want to get into the details of BERT report design. But now we've got something that, at least from the RAD side, we didn't have. We had a very, very painful process to try and build a charter graph inside of the NetCool RAD product, and it's literally point and click, drag and drop, bring your data source in type stuff with a nice GUI from the BERT project. And we've taken that a step further in TIP. If you're participating in the beta, you'll see that as the ability now to create sort of TIP-based charts, again, based on BERT, right there in a very easy way.
How far out is the TIP GA release?
Well, it'll come to life via the 4.2 release for TBSM in September-ish.
Yep.
But the beta is going on now. The third week of the beta is now. So if you're interested in that, we have Dan Tabor here that'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
If it anything, my advice is to participate in the beta program so you get exposed to the education content that's presented twice a week on TBSM version 4.2. Another key component of that planning, architecture, and design, the more you know now, the better prepared you are in the future. And ultimately, that content turns into the formal education that you'd have to pay for in the future. Other content integration, again, portlets. Now we have a real JSR 168 portlet, so hopefully that makes it easier to do portlet integration with other things in your environment, other portals, other components to share and collapse and truly work towards that single pane of glass vision that we at Micromuse had many years ago, but has evolved into the alt-click knock instead of the swivel chair knock. You have many browsers open, and you have to alt-tab through those. So now getting back to one single pane of glass with all that content mashed together. So again, I'm going to start here in the next few slides talking about the most critical component in your journey for business service management success with TBSM version 4, and that's the events. Right now, you should be evaluating your event sources. You should be profiling and cataloging and understanding the quality of your event sources coming from the mainframe environment, the distributed environment, the network environment, wherever you plan to integrate and consolidate events for the use in TBSM, you need to start to think about these things. Profiling events, capturing characteristics for normal, poor, and bad behaviors. What causes events to be generated, and what happens for them to clear? What are your expected event volumes for normal, peak, maintenance windows? Future events, what's your growth pattern for events? Now Omnibus is going to simply be able to handle that in most cases, but you need to have an idea of that because you don't want all those events to stay resonant inside of Omnibus for TBSM to keep scanning and scanning to look through those. So you need to really understand the behavior of those events. Capturing the known impact that an event, an individual event, can have on line of business, services, applications, or transactions. Outside of your IT box now, my goal has always been to help clients figure out the business and IT impact in terms of KPI variance, dollars, and impact on other services and applications. That takes work to do. You have to leave your comfort zone and go talk with the business and application developers to figure out when this server or CPU utilization is 98% and the transactions slow down, how do you feel that? How is the business impacted by that? Logging every event into a catalog or an event data dictionary. When I ran things at Earthlink, we had a CMDB of sorts for the monitoring tools group. I knew exactly what events were created. I knew what happened to create them, how they were cleared, what their impact was, what fields were populated or not populated. You need to create something that keeps track of all the events in your environment so you know what you're working with. You know the quality of events coming from ITM. You know where I have to use technology like probes and the lookup files or impact or other tools to create enriched and normalized events. Develop your own event standard. He who owns Omnibus can determine whether or not I keep an event and allow it to come in the Omnibus object server or not. Establish a standard and discard things that do not meet that standard and go back and work with the ITM administrator, the HP OpenView administrator, the other administrator to make sure that you're getting the things you need in that event that enable you to do business service management. And keep it up to date. So here's, you know, I go around the world and I see an existing NetCool customer, and it generally takes hours and hours and hours and hours staring at their NetCool event list console. The same could be said for tech, to try and figure out simple things like, is this a Windows server or an AIX server? Is this for an application X or application Y? I can almost guarantee that every ounce of effort that you put into working and developing and implementing quality events, that your BSM experience with TBSM will be the most pleasant experience you've had with any software from Tivoli. That for you to take advantage of all the features and capability that Dan's talked about and we've talked about, auto-population, the maintenance lifecycle will be greatly enhanced when you have the right quality of events coming in. They're normalized, they're enriched. Every event communicates a message. It tells you the line of business it impacts, the service it impacts, the applications that are running on a server. Don't just send CPU utilization 90% events. Communicate via that message what that impacts, what's running on that server. Now we've got a long ways to go to make that easy from the product by product perspective, but using things like the NetCool Tivoli probes, EIF probes that you'll get with TBSM, the lookup files, the rules files, NetCool Impact, you can fill in all those gaps. So work towards getting 80% what you can from the domain products and then supplement that with the other abilities you have within the TBSM product.
Yeah, Doug, that goes directly to my point earlier. People that are successful with TBSM or RAD to date have strong deployments of Omnibus and Impact because precisely for that reason, they get the events right and everything else is just cake inside of TBSM. You might not agree if it's cake.
No, it is, right? So I definitely don't agree TATM is the right answer all the time. I believe that the event should be done first, right? That we need to get events that are normalized to a standard. That every event, you know, if you have a server, that server event should tell you, okay, CPU utilization is 90%, this server event is affecting this application that's installed on that, this line of business, the location, the data center, who's on call, who's the responsible group, all that stuff can be put into an event. And when you have that in the event, it takes one rule and a handful of templates and you can automatically auto-populate and build a complex hierarchical service model inside of TBSM from one event. If you have a functional naming scheme for your servers, your network devices, that can be used as well. Fortunately, where I came from, they were all named Miss Piggy and Frogger, But if you have a functional standard for naming things, rack row in the data center, application it runs on, type of system it is, Windows or AIX, you can parse that and then populate your model automatically. It's very powerful, but it all depends on quality events. Again, as you're moving to version 4 and version 4.2 from the legacy TBSM version 3, look at the depth and breadth that you have available to you now with the broader Omnibus portfolio. You have the capability to integrate with the network side. You'll have the capability to integrate with the mainframe side, with the pump. The broader picture is now there for you to take advantage of if you choose to think about doing TBSM differently than you did in the past. We have over 300 probes available to pull metrics and events from thousands of different sources, from the telephony PBX, from the data center, from the UPS, all the other traditional domain tools. We can bring events into Omnibus. Coming from the Micromu side, we often heard stories about how, you know, Chick-fil-A monitors the refrigerators, or this company monitors the Coke machines. It's all possible. We've got Swiss Army knife probes that'll connect to sockets, read log files, various different mechanisms to bring things into TBSM. Now, there may be more cost involved. I'm not a salesperson, but you have a broad library of capability now that you can take advantage of should you choose to. You know, again, I know where most of you come from in the monitoring tools group, but working through the organizational challenge, as a former boss used to call, you know, working the organizational problem, you know, reaching out into those other groups where you know somebody's running Nagios, or you know somebody's running Foglight Spotlight on Oracle, or you know somebody's running a tool that's a domain-specific tool in an application group, a DB group, a server group. Go out there and talk to them. Figure out a way that you can get a feed of information from those powerful tools that they use that may not be the corporate tools, so you can bring the right things into Omnibus and increase your visibility into those services and applications, which increases your success chance for business service management to happen. We all know they exist. We all know open source is out there. Reach out. Buy them a six-pack, whatever, and work towards integrating using the capability. Have them send you an email and parse the email. Whatever it is, right, we know those tools exist. We know they probably do a better job of monitoring a database or an application. Work towards that, right? Because what's going to happen? The operator in the NOC sees something on TBSM. He goes down and finds the event. They create a ticket. The ticket gets escalated, and I don't see anything on my tool, right? Those are all the things that happen, right? So the more you work towards integrating and consolidating all the available data sources, the more trust and belief people will put into your finished product. The other important thing about events is that you better be able to define and tell the executive or manager why something's red on that dashboard or service model. You better be able to tell them what's the matter. You better be able to tell them what happens, what it's going to take to clear that red condition. That's the importance of documentation. That's the importance of a event catalog. One of my pet projects is to embed a wiki. You may have a run book or an expert advice system. Right click off of every service instance to go to that expert system to figure out exactly what causes that instance in TBSM to change from yellow to red. Take advantage of those systems now to help people answer their own questions. Why is this red? Why is this yellow? What do I do? Another thing that I often run into is consider this concept of a BSM event or a dashboard event. It's something that we set a threshold low for, so we always get that CPU utilization metric. We always get that memory utilization metric. We always get that KPI sent to us regardless of the official production threshold of 90% or 95%. Create different situations. Create a vehicle for bringing you metrics into the system that'll never be seen by operations, because I might set a flag to say this is not visible to the NOC. Because now you can use that to drive your dashboard. It's a simpler approach, potentially, than using impact or writing custom data fetchers to go out to other things and integrate that you may not be able to get to. Send events. Look at events for different purposes than traditional is it up or is it down type events that the NOC or the operations center will never see. You can simply hide them in the omnibus environment so they are never shown in production event list views. So what's our goal? Our goal is to ultimately figure out the service context, the business service, the line of business, the application. How is it all built? Again, a very, very challenging process, especially when you don't have enabling technologies like TATM, or you don't have a CMDB, or you don't have the asset management database. But we're working towards understanding something like this, creating a service model, as we call it. And service models are made up of templates inside of TBSM, and we're mapping in information. We're mapping in events, metrics, KPIs into the model. This is an example that I've used many times to help explain some of those concepts of what is a business service view, what's an application view, what's a component view, what's an event view. And these are a very simple way to explain the hierarchy of building a service model in the product. If you visit my blog, you can find a series of posts that I write about called What You Need to Know on TBSM Design Patterns, where I share practical advice about how to go build models inside of the TBSM environment. The most important part of this service decomposition or service modeling process is to determine the level of detail required. Some may take a bottoms-up approach and show you all the servers and routers and switches and detailed information. Some may take a top-down approach where if you're using a product like ITCAM for RT, or you're using tools that are doing user experience or synthetic robotic testing, I can create a very powerful dashboard by just showing the top level, right? The business and transaction one, transaction two, transaction three, and never have to worry about the complexity in the IT environment. Because what do most executives care about? Is it working? Are my transactions flowing? Is the user experience good? I don't care about the 500 servers. They can be all red as long as my transactions, my user experience, my SLAs are being met at that top level. So you have a lot of different options here. There's no limit to the way you model things inside of TBSM. Figure out that right balance between complexity and simplicity that's going to help you meet your goal of those requirements your customers may have. And that's where, again, the design is towards what do they need? What do they need to have to do their job, to meet the use case scenarios and be effective with this product? Again, you're going to go through a process of creating templates. We're going to give you some examples, especially if you use the TATM integration. But now we want to start to create our own libraries of templates. Developing a naming schema is important here, one that I commonly use for my templates. Simply uses a prefix approach, arc underscore server, you know, service underscore banking, transaction underscore credit card withdrawal. Figure out an approach that makes sense, because when you start to try and where's that one I need to delete, where's that one I need to edit, it becomes challenging to keep track of the chaos if you don't have a logical way to organize. A best practice that I often recommend is to find points of commonality first and then create unique templates. So if I have a DB2 database in my environment, I create a generic DB2 template. I may have DB2 version 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm going to create unique templates because I might want to monitor a DB2 version 8 differently than a DB2 version 9. So I put the metrics and the rules and the KPIs on that template as applicable, and then I create instances that are tagged with templates. Here's my generic monitoring for all DB2. This is a DB2 version 8 instance, so I'm going to apply the DB2 version 8 template to that, and I'm going to get the best of both worlds. So you have to learn this process if you're coming from version 3, is how do I go model behavior in my templates? Please don't fall into the trap that we encourage you to when we give you the out-of-the-box configuration, is creating broad-based status rules that map all events to a host name. Yeah. You don't want your environment turning red, yellow, purple, green, and blue based on a file system filling up here that has no relevance to the business impact. Create specific and unique rules that model the behavior, right? That may take you going and talking to the Windows guy, hey, Windows guy, what really causes this server to go down? And put a rule on there that explicitly looks for those types of events. The out-of-the-box integration we bring to you simply maps everything to a host name, which is great for adding color to the dashboard, but now which one is important, right? So modeling behavior on your templates is important.
How about the sizzle, man? Come on. I want to just say green. I mean, green's cool.
Yep.
I'm gonna save you money.
You're going to want to figure out the best ways that you can use the automation capabilities inside the product. Auto-population rules, again, from data sources or events. External service dependency adapters for building service models. If you have a CMDB already, I can go integrate and pull out this server has this app, has this service, has this line of business, and stitch together a complex service model by going to one or more data sources. So I have an asset database, I have a service catalog, I have a CMDB, I have a network repository, and I can go write one ESDA rule that goes to each of those components and stitches together a complex hierarchy inside of TBSM. A very powerful feature. Nobody else has it. Make use of it the most you can, and your life cycle of administering the product will be much easier. Again, the summary here, know what you want, start small, know how to get it, keep it documented, keep it accurate, assess value, and change what you're doing if you're not getting value. Some examples here of what I go through with customers to help them think through this service decomposition and modeling and template creation process visually. Stop by and talk to me later or at the BOF tonight, and we can go through that in detail. Just some notes here quickly that we do have capabilities today for version 3 to version 4 migration. If you're not familiar with them, we have a couple different approaches. We've got an asset on the Opal site that allows you to use an ESDA in version 4 to go bring certain things out of your version 3 environment. It's not a migration, it's not an upgrade, but it's a way for you to get exposure to the version 4 environment while still running your version 3 environment. Check that out. It's a great white paper that I believe Randy Brown did that. Great white paper to get exposure to that. We have integration capabilities today with version 3, the event enablement capability, using the IHSTT tech capability. The request processor integration feature will be a part of version 4.2. That date's wrong, right?
Yeah, September.
So September. The most important part of the version 4 environment is, of course, the ability to bring in your Z feed events from the Z pump. Now that's gonna be an evolving component. So the first release will include the normal suspects, I understand, but there's gonna be sparklers or enhancements after the main 4.2 release that's gonna incorporate more of the other things that you have in your mainframe Z environment. I know that development is very interested in getting information from you if you're a heavy mainframe environment and you have unique requirements or feeds or doing unique things with messages. And events to get with development via Dan or Clayton, and they want to capture that information so they can put it in the plan for, you know, again, the goal is that when you swing that pump across and you're bringing events into Omnibus via the EIF probe, that we can automate all this stuff as possible, right? We can take that mainframe event and we can build a Netcool event that enables you to automatically put things into that model and match, right? If you use the ZOS DLA, the ZOS DLA will create the model, and the events will match with the model. That's the goal of everything we're trying to do, is to make that initial deployment as smooth as possible so you have value in a short amount of time.
Doug, the other point I want to make here about the SystemZ data pump is this will actually be available in July, completely independent of TBSM. It'll be available with Omnibus, but as of TBSM 4.2 in September when it comes out, it's got that additional piece that he just mentioned, the DLA, the mapping of it, and the building of that automatically. So you can get these feeds with the pump in July, and then you can apply the TBSM.
So I've been working, you know, the past year with a very large financial company who has, you know, hundreds of LPARs in the mainframe environment to try and get as much of this stuff captured as possible. So when you swing your smaller LPAR mainframe environment over, hopefully it's going to match everything, right? Over time, you'll add more of the third-party vendor stuff, CA, BMC, and other things that that may be in there. But we're going to get that big chunk of that done this year. A V3 to V4 migration continued here. I just mentioned that. The team I'm on, the services team in Tivoli, has also created some assets that we can help you use on an engagement with us to do things like all the effort you put into building lines of business inside of TBSM version 3. We've created some tools to help migrate all of that over to TBSM version 4. So if you're interested in those types of things, you can work with your local Tivoli services team, and they can help you migrate all your LOBs over to the TBSM model. Just like to talk a few minutes here about some of the high-level options for planning that architecture in the future. The details are forthcoming every day here around what we can do. The beta program is the best place to hear most of this stuff about options for 4.2. But I want to introduce these concepts so you can start to think about it now as you go through these other steps that I recommend for planning. We all are, the version 3 folks are familiar with this type of architecture in the TBSM version 3 environment. The TBSM version 4 environment and the omnibus-based environment. We have some of the new capabilities. If you're not familiar with this from the NetCool side, is the MozWAS or the monitor our stuff with our stuff using the IRA-based ITM agent to bring out information from TBSM, how fast it's processing events, utilization, memory, CPU, coupled with all the traditional ITM monitoring and getting that into the data warehouse. So we have 20 or so reports in the BERT release that'll help you. That's on the service side. The ITM reports will see that in the MozWAS side. Discovery integration, ticketing integration with the omnibus gateways, and just general reporting when you define service level agreements inside of our TBSM, when you define outages, all those things will show up in some of the out-of-the-box reports that you get with TCR in version 4.1.1. So the big fundamental change in the version 4.2 architecture is this capability of splitting, or we call it server separation, inside of TBSM. So today it's all one platform. Scalability, has been a variable that's been hard to measure based on the content and how heavy you use the NetCool GUI foundation. But in the next version, you'll have the ability to split the front end, AKA the dashboard server, from the back end, AKA the data server. And the thoughts here are that this is going to allow you to scale horizontally many dashboard servers to increase the ability to support large numbers of users. You can have multiple dashboard servers, and you have to deploy a server load balancer in front of those, so you can still handle the front end direction, at least idle round robin, to direct user traffic towards a dashboard server. But now you can start to horizontally scale, and we started to split this now so the user load shouldn't impact the core processing, model, state evaluation, event processing that's happening in the core of the TBSM product. So this introduces some complexities around failover, high availability. So we have to figure out, how do you fail over this? This dashboard server is really the core of where TIP lives. So how do we fail over at that level? How do we maintain state, sessions? Lots of things there that we need your help if you want to try and deploy a large, complex environment to make sure that it's all going to work and that we have, some scalability targets to shoot towards. Server separation options, there's going to be today in version 4 we have a simple deployment, AKA I'm going to deploy everything on one server. So we have an environment that you'll be able to install everything on one server, or a POC type environment, or a dev sandbox environment. Everything's on one server, no failover, the object server, Omnibus is right there with it. That's how, if you're developing, you might have that on VMware, you might have, different environments where you're playing and learning the software. The next option would be having multiple servers, all the failover options in play, still having TBSM on one server, but having failover servers, having failover at the omnibus level, failover at the probe level. We've got failover options all over the place. So you thought you had to learn one product with TBSM, but you're really learning TBSM, omnibus, webtop, now TIP in the future. So you really start to have to learn about all the other options you have. So the architecture, you know, is going to be a thing that you need to become very familiar with. So failover across each of these areas, still having TBSM on one box. And then being able to split that. So now I have dashboard servers and data servers on separate servers. I have failover across those with the omnibus failover. So again, yet another option for a highly scaled deployment of TBSM where you might have hundreds of users, right? So again, we still have to figure out what those thresholds are. I wouldn't ever recommend in the past more than 50 users on the former TBSM version 4 product. You know, this should take us out to hundreds of users by deploying horizontal dashboard servers. Again, we need your help to test this out in the real world environments. Hopefully in the future we'll start to move even more in this area of aggregating, right? So I can have a geography-based deployment and have an aggregation layer on the top, but I'm really speculating there. Hint, hint.
Yes, you are.
when a customer asks, I want 500 users, hopefully, we'll be able to do it with this, but when you've got global deployments, we've got to figure out some options there to really scale globally. So again, the point here is that we've got a lot of things to think about architecturally. Now, for you that have invested in heavily customizing your NetCool RAD environment and the NetCool GUI Foundation, rest assured, we're very aware of the things that you may have done. And we've got a plan in development is trying to work towards a utility to help migrate the custom things you may have done in the NetCool GUI Foundation component of TBSM version 4.1. Custom canvases, custom icons, view definitions. We've got a plan for almost everything here, but if you think you're doing something way out in the right field in NGF, please reach out to Dan and Clayton and let them know about those customizations you've done to make sure that we've got those covered in the design plan for this migration utility. We know that you're probably using iframes. We know you might have embedded reporting tools, custom dashboards. We want to try and make sure we've got all those bases covered to make all that stuff translate right into portlets and views and pages and actions in TIPland in this next release. In summary, I want to emphasize, now is the time for you to start to think about how you're going to do things differently with TBSM version 4.2 and beyond. You may not have to do things the same way you did in the past. Talk with your managers, talk with your customers, talk with your executives, talk with the network side, the distributed side, or the mainframe side, depending on where you're at, and consider a true effort towards consolidated operations. How can we have one environment? How can we do event management differently than we did before? How can we do an end-to-end service model? How can we have true visibility across a complex service that spans distributed and mainframe? Think about that now. Think about planning and designing that next deployment. It's not an upgrade step in the product lifecycle. You have a golden opportunity now to reevaluate things you did in the past. Establish a design methodology inside your environment. You may already have one, but think about that now from the TBSM context. How am I going to do things? What's my method of procedure going to be for creating templates, naming templates? How am I going to propagate things from one level to the next level? Find every place you can get something standardized, and your lifecycle of managing this product, adds, moves, and changes will be that much easier. Put 110% of your effort right now into understanding your events, figuring out how you're going to create a BSM event that's normalized, enriched, and optimized to take advantage of auto-population, all the automation capabilities inside the product. I guarantee the more effort you put there, you will be more pleased with the software. You may not have to do everything you did in the past, and probably shouldn't. Look at the broader omnibus portfolio. Look at the probes and gateways. Look at the trouble ticketing interfaces. Look at reporting. Look at all the things that we brought to the from the acquisition to think about how you might do it differently, more efficiently, more scalable, more highly available. Omnibus is certainly no tech, so look at all these things and evaluate how you're going to do things in the future. Ask for help. Again, I reiterate, I am always available to make sure you're successful with this product. I am a billable resource, but I will respond to you in email, my blog, the public forums that we now have on DeveloperWorks. We have a DeveloperWorks wiki that's focused on integration scenarios. I expect that will continue to be enhanced with version 4.2. The forum, there is a DeveloperWorks forum for TBSM. We have a service management portal that was introduced and launched here as part of Pulse. The NetCool Users Group. You're not going to find much about TBSM or Omnibus on the TME10 or other historical Tivoli mailing lists. Look at the NetCool Users Group and the very active list there if you need help with TBSM, Impact, WebTop, Omnibus. And again, my personal blog where I share a lot of thoughts about how to do this stuff and be successful with it. Any questions? Did I scare y'all?
That's a lot of information.
And I cut a few slides out, so I was trucking. I will be at the BOF tonight from 6:15 to 7. If you want to see examples, screenshots, you want me to fire up VMware, whatever, I'd be happy to talk with you at the Birds of a Feather tonight at 6:15.